We come to our time of sharing scripture, and our first reading comes from the book of Genesis. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall, pardon me, spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. But the name of that city was Luz at first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, and is one of a series of parables that Jesus tells throughout this section. And this is one of actually the few parables where Jesus then goes on to give an explanation of it. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, an enemy has done this. The slave said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, no, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. Jesus answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let everyone who has ears listen. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's take a look at Jacob in the story. At this point, he has not seemed like a very bright person or one on whom God would look with favor. He's been sneaky, he's been a liar, he's been a thief, but also apparently he was occasionally a few bulbs short of being a chandelier. He stole his blessing, father's blessing, from his brother Esau. He put on a costume and an Oscar-winning performance, stealing from an old and dying man what rightfully belonged to Esau. And that was sneaky. But sneaky doesn't protect from being short-sighted. Because Jacob began to act as if there would be no consequences. His mother had to go and say, "You know, Esau is really angry at you. You'd better watch out." And at this point so far, Jacob's story in the Bible is not a very edifying one or an uplifting one. It doesn't follow the course that we would want. If we had been writing it, we might have seen that Jacob was punished for dishonesty and paid the penalty for his actions. And if we were asked to somehow insert Jacob into the parable Jesus told, we would say at this point, he was clearly a weed, ready to be pulled out, and by the way, God, I'll be glad to do it for you. But then Jesus tells us all to leave such sorting to God. And God's sorting is often different than ours. Because don't forget what did happen to Jacob. God gave Jacob a dream of a great ladder set up on earth with the top reaching into heaven and angels upon it, ascending and descending. It went up to heaven, and the Lord himself came and beside Jacob in his sleep and spoke to him words of benediction and comfort, and all this at a time when we would have said, let's punish the guy. You think about it, by our standards, Jacob doesn't deserve that kind of dream. Think of all the people who have prayed for a dream like that. People who have been honest and smart, hardworking and faithful. So why does God choose someone like Jacob? And what do I need to do to be chosen for such a dream? I've often wondered, and I'm sure a lot of us would like to know. Because I bet all of us would like to have such a direct experience of God, and we long to have a beautiful, life-changing, God-filled encounter. Well, looking at the story of Jacob, let's see how we get close to God. Apparently, one sure way to get close to God is to mess up, to make a really big, dumb mistake, and not a small, understandable, easily forgivable one. Now, I'm talking about the kind of misstep that changes your life forever, the kind of blunder that cracks you wide open. Because that's what Jacob did. He blew it. He fooled his father, cheated his brother, ripped his family in two. He had to go on the lam, and events were spinning out of his control. And it was at that point in Jacob's life that God chose to reveal himself in all of God's power and glory. It's the strangest thing. When we are at our worst, God is so often at God's best. I have a minister acquaintance. A number of years ago, he made a mistake, and we're talking a big mistake. Not the occasional dyslexia of the tongue in a course of a sermon, but the kind of mistake that gets your name in the paper, the kind of mistake where strangers judge you and most of your friends abandon you, and even those closest to you look at you differently. The experience broke him. And as he has said this himself, the experience also saved him. Before this all happened, he had a confidence that bordered on arrogance, and he believed in God, but only called on God when it suited him, but no more. He'd found he had to rebuild a life slowly and painfully. And in this new life, he and God were tight together. You see, when everyone judged and rejected him, God seemed to love him and claim him even more deeply. And he was willing to admit the need for that. My friend doesn't recommend this path as a way to a closer relationship with God, but it worked in his life and it worked for Jacob. So apparently one way to get closer to God is make a big mistake and then be willing to admit to it. Another way to get closer to God, according to the story of Jacob, is to fall asleep. This magnificent encounter with God happened while Jacob was asleep. And, you know, I'm not telling you to doze off during the rest of this sermon, but sleep is a funny thing. We're so vulnerable when we sleep. We control nothing while we sleep, not even our thoughts. Sleep is all about letting go. Jacob had been all about control up to this point. He wanted to control who would get the inheritance. And I'm betting some of us can relate to this particular character trait about Jacob, because let's face it, we all like to feel that we are in control of our lives. But it can be a less than helpful trait in the long run. When we relinquish control and allow ourselves to sleep, we just might have a dream that has been shaped by God. All through the Bible, God communicates through dreams. And of course, not every dream is a message from God. I had a dream the other night that my wife was going to prepare lobster and rack of lamb for our dinner when I get home from church. I doubt that came from God. But throughout the ages, God has spoken to us through our dreams. So there you have it. If you want to get close to God, make a big mistake, hang out in the darkness, fall asleep, and have a dream. Be weak, vulnerable, fragile, broken, unprotected. Better yet, asleep, mouth open, oblivious, maybe even drooling. You know, when I put it that way, getting closer to God doesn't sound so appealing. Shouldn't we be closest to God when we are awake and alert, when we are at our most competent? And don't get me wrong, God loves and values our competence. It's a primary way in which we actively love and serve God. But it can be so easy to fall in love with our own competence. And what started out as fully utilizing our God-given gifts can turn into something that may have nothing to do with God, because we get dumb enough to give ourselves too much credit. And it can happen so easily. Think about our weekdays. Sunday, sure, we know we belong to God. That's why we were coming to church when that was healthy to do, why we tune in to worship services now. We know we are in God's gracious hands, and we celebrate that. But by Monday, maybe Tuesday at the latest, it's more like life is all up to us as we look at it. God's not going to go to the grocery store or coordinate a Zoom meeting or make children's lunches if you have children at home, or do laundry or prepare a memo or sort through bills, figure out exactly how medical insurance works. No, we are so busy managing, feeding, teaching, fixing, pleasing, leading, coping, that sometimes God gets squeezed out during the week. And God is still every bit as available to us in the daytime as the night, just that we can get too busy to notice. But our busyness is not an obstacle to God. God just waits until the night falls, just waits until we fall asleep, and then God can seize the opportunity. Earlier I asked, what do I need to do to get closer to God? And as I often do, I kind of got things wrong in phrasing it that way, because the reality is it is God who is always trying to get close to us. The latter is the way that angels, God's messengers, were coming down to where Jacob lay to bring a message. We all love the song, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder," but Jacob didn't have to climb. God came to him. And so it is for us. Even now, Christ is plotting a way to sneak into our lives and our hearts and our dreams, to tell us once again, because we need to hear it over and over again, that I will be with you always. The truth is, we are not always as good as we think we are at telling the difference on how God can get to us. We are not good, as the parable may indicate to us, at judging necessarily between wheat and weed. We would have judged Jacob a weed early in the story. Our assessments and assumptions can be wrong, and when we act on those wrong assumptions, they are often utterly destructive. Our assumptions about what is wheat and what is feed at best can alienate us from one another, and at worst can lead to violence. Jacob tells us to let everything grow until God sorts us out. Because it could be that God has other ideas about the worth of what we deem weeds. It could be that those very weeds might yet be used for good. It might yet be that we really have no idea what is truly of value to God and in others, and sometimes even in ourselves. It might be yet that God gives us an alternate future in the same way he did to Jacob. Because look at that dream. It wasn't a look back on all that had been wrong with Jacob's life thus far. The dream is an presentation of an alternative way of living with acknowledgement of God's presence. The dreams and visions that God gives affirm always that the future can be different than the past, and we can be different. Life can be different. What was it that God said to Jacob? Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Know that. Because sooner or later, we will find ourselves on a road to Bethel, fleeing something behind us. Maybe we will be on a Bethel road because, like Jacob, we've done something hurtful and stupid. Maybe we will find ourselves on the Bethel road because of something that has happened to us, some blow or some loss that we did nothing to create. Maybe frustration with the way life is going these days has us on the road to Bethel. Maybe it's continuing struggles to share in the blessings available in this country, but sooner or later, I think all of us have or will find ourselves on that hard road to Bethel. Knowing our mistakes, unsure of the future, uncertain and possibly afraid. And the promise of this account is that in such moments, God will be with us always. God will be with us, offering an alternative vision of the future, giving us strength and courage, loving us back to life, loving us from weed to wheat. Whether you are as short-sighted and selfish as Jacob, or a saint like Mother Teresa, or something in between, know that God will be with you and will keep you wherever you go. Amen.